pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
The most important thing I think ever happened to a child would be to get a vision for his or her life, right? That's where your identity comes from. It's interesting that the spirit of this present age would disagree with what I'm saying right now, because the spirit of the age would be quick to accuse me of saying, well, you're trying to overly control your child and exert your influence. You shouldn't do that. Just let the child be who the child's going to be.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Foolproof, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper if we're happy to send you today's special offer. Just contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org, or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. We'll have more on this special offer later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? God is not a slave master who is enforcing you to obey as if it were your duty of drudgery. He's a father. And as such, he has a vision for your life that is more beautiful than anything you could envision for yourself. And what happens when the revelation of God's love and his plans for your life emerges in your heart is the more vividly that you see that, the more vividly you have that revelation, the more everything in your life aligns to it. And that does change all of your thoughts and all your behaviors. We're just looking at one verse today in our new study on Proverbs. We call it the study Foolproof, because Proverbs is about the wisdom that overcomes our folly. And today, one of the most famous proverbs in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, just this one verse: where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. The more famous version of this from the King James: where there is no vision, the people perish. And the second part of the verse: but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, or they're discouraged, or there's anarchy, or they perish. These are the translations. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, for some reason, After I had prepared most of this message, I'm thinking, have I ever preached on this text before? Such an important text. And I don't really know how it happened, but I just went back, opened up a drawer full of files, and I saw a message about vision. I pulled out the folder, and it was on this text. And as far as I know, it's the only other time I preached on this text. Why I haven't preached on this text more, I don't know. But the folder I pulled out had a sermon manuscript in it that I preached in October of 1998. And what was interesting about it, when I pulled it out, it was kind of a little sentimental trip for me, because it was just 2.5 weeks after our daughter Abigail had been born. She was born on a Tuesday, September 29, 1998. And a couple of Sundays later, I was preaching on this text. And I just had to look at it, since there was a manuscript, and say, what did I have to say? What was on my mind as I was preaching, maybe for the first or second time after our baby girl had come into the world? What was on my mind as a father for the second time? And I just get such a chuckle out of it. This is verbatim from my introduction to that sermon 19 years ago, right after Abby was born. It began this way: I have acquired an application for permission to date my daughter form. The applicant must fill it out before taking Abigail on a date. Remember, she's 2 weeks old when I'm preaching this. Of course, she will be 21 years of age before she has a first date. The form begins with this basic information: name, height, weight, IQ, GPA, anticipated graduate study program to be pursued after college, hours spent in Bible study and prayer daily, just general information like that for the applicant, followed by a simple yes or no section the applicant is to fill out. Yes or no, do you own a van? Yes or no. Do you own a truck with oversized tires? Yes or no. Do you own a waterbed? I don't think we have those anymore. Yes or no. Do you have a nose ring, belly button ring, or any other ring attached to something it should not be attached to? Yes or no. And then the form says, if answer to any of the above questions is yes, then discontinue the application. Leave the premises immediately. The next section of the application, listen, I'm reading verbatim from my sermon 19 years ago. The next application of the section of the application to date my daughter is a narrative section with these instructions in 50 words or less. What does "do not touch my daughter" mean to you? Then there are a few other questions on the form, like when would be the best time to interview your father, mother, and pastor? At the end of the form, the applicant signs and has the document notarized with the statement, to the best of my knowledge, under penalty of death, dismemberment, electrocution, Chinese water torture, and or a red hot poker, all statements included herein are true. And my favorite part, the form concludes by saying, thank you for your interest. Please allow 4 to 6 years for processing. And that sermon continued. First sermon I preached after Abby was born, it continued like this. I'm reading from the manuscript. I have a vision for my daughter's life, and it is not for her to date certain kinds of men. A parent loves the child and begins to have a picture over the child's life. A vision's how it will be for her. For Abigail, I envision her to be, as the Bible describes her namesake, a beautiful and wise woman. I want her to be beautiful inwardly, full of the joy, peace, gentleness, and vitality of the Holy Spirit. I want her to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. I want her to love God with all of her heart. I want her to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I have a vision of purity over her life, it means that some things just don't fit that vision. Of course, there are pieces of this picture that I don't really know how they will actually be lived out. I don't know what the ultimate color of her hair will be. I know there'll be plenty of surprises in her personality along the way, things I would have never guessed. And I believe that she will accomplish things that I currently am not able to imagine that she will accomplish. That was 19 years ago, and here I am on Father's Day. And thankfully, we're still, 2 years away from an ABL being allowed to fill out the application to date her. But as I had envisioned when I first held her in my arms, she has indeed grown in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. She is, as her mother and I dreamed, a wise and beautiful woman. There was so much that I didn't know at that time and couldn't have known, of course. I didn't know that the early part of her life, that she would not live in a lighthearted home, but in a home that was heavy with sorrow over the advanced cancer that would take Abigail's aunt Mary away from the earth. And that her photos as a one-year-old seldom had smiles. She had breathed in some of the weightiness of grief in our home that year. And I didn't know when Abigail was born and I held her in my arms that I would have to join my wife in praying for a miracle to heal her of the thread of melancholy that had tried to infect her tiny soul And I didn't know that God would answer our prayer in such a glorious, overflowing manner, such that delight and joy and laughter and silliness would become Abby's chief calling cards. I didn't know that she would be such a wonderful mixture, a little girl that loved to wear frilly, girly dresses and also loved to climb trees and go on adventures. I didn't know she would love dogs and every animal and dancing classical ballet and live for a chance to be on a horse. I didn't know that she would develop such a snarky, quick wit, such that she was the one in our house when one day she was little and I said, "I think, Abby, I'm looking a little too fat." And she looked at me seriously. She said, "Daddy, you don't look fat with a shirt on." I didn't know that this was the way it was going to be. I didn't know that she would try to dodge math and science but win national speech contests. I didn't know all of these things. But I had a vision for her life. A vision of good things, of purity, of holiness, of love for Jesus, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in her life. These things I knew for sure. I had a vision for her life because that's what a father does.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Seen as Jesus sees, Pastor Alan Wright's newest book just released. When you make a gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's new beautiful hardcover book. And as an additional thank you for your support, you'll also receive a free 6-week companion video series from Pastor Alan, along with a study guide and a daily reading plan. You'll start seeing as Jesus sees, and you're going to love the view. We're happy to share it with you at our cost of only $15. Visit PastorAlan.org to get your Seeing as Jesus Sees product bundle. When you're there, you'll notice that you can opt to make a donation above the cost of the bundle, and we would sure appreciate your support. This broadcast that shares the power of the good news of Jesus Christ nationwide every day is only possible through the generosity of listeners like you. Visit PastorAlan.org, that's PastorAlan.org, or call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
The most important thing I think ever happened to a child would be to get a vision for his or her life, right? That's where your identity comes from. And it's interesting that the spirit of this present age would disagree with what I'm saying right now, because the spirit of the age would be quick to accuse me of saying, well, you're trying to overly control your child and exert your influence, and you shouldn't do that. Just let the child be who the child's going to be and discover him or herself, and let everyone find their own direction, and no one restrain anybody by any such type of vision. That's the cry of the age. And indeed, there have been, of course, parents and authority figures who have been selfishly imposed their own agenda onto others, and that's the thing that people are wanting to break free from. I understand that, but the spirit of the age, it says, offer no vision for a child at all. It's absolutely wrong, and if you think about it, completely ridiculous. Of course you have a vision for a little child. I'm just using this as an illustration, but it's a picture of the bigger issue of vision, and of course you have a vision. If you have a child that crawls, you have a vision for that child to walk. That's why we take them by their little hands, and we hold them up, and we straddle them, and we walk inside to show them this is what it feels like to walk, because we've got a vision of them not crawling their whole life, but walking. It's why when they're preschoolers, we buy them books and we sit them in our laps and we read them stories, because we have a vision of them learning to read. We have a vision. And even people who say they don't have a vision for their children or brothers, they do have a vision. And something happens inside of a soul when you begin to catch the vision, because you align your life according to the vision. We're not raising slaves or robots to perform obediently for us. Of course not. But the life of obedience is a life that aligns to what is highest and best and something that gets planted deep within. So to say where there is no vision or no prophetic revelation, people cast off restraint is to say, if you don't have a God-given vision for your life, there is no inward ruling force that shapes all your decisions and all your behaviors. But what a vision from God does is it puts into you an identity of who you are, why you exist, and where you're going with your life, so that then all competing ideologies and all distractions from your God-given purpose get laid to the side. In other words, you restrain yourselves from all the distractions, including the sin which so easily clings to us. You are made for so much, and God is your Father, and God is not silent. He is not a cruel father who leaves his children in silence, wondering what they're supposed to do. He is a God of revelation. He's a God of the Word. He's a God of the Spirit who deposits his own life inside of you, his own Spirit. And I'm just saying, if I had, as a father of a newborn baby girl, a vision over her life, how much more so does your Heavenly Father have a vision for your life? And he wants you to receive it and catch it. If I spoke prophetic blessing over my children in order to cast a vision for their future so they could grow into it, how much more so does God, by the power of His Word and His Spirit, speak a prophetic revelation over your life, a blessing over your life? That's what His Word is full of, is telling you a vision for who you are, a vision for why you've been made, a vision for who you are destined to be. It's surprising when in this one little verse that's so famous, where there is no prophetic revelation, no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, that the couplet, the second part of it, says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Because you might expect that the proverb would say, where there is no prophetic vision, the people are discouraged, the people cast off restraint. But where there is revelation, the people flourish. You might expect it to say that, but that's not what it says. It's a parallel statement. In other words, it's sort of repeating the first statement, but the second statement says, blessed is he who keeps the law. That seems odd at first, but what I want to show you today is just how beautifully, powerfully inseparable these two ideas are. That in other words, my point of this about raising Abby is that I wanted to put a prophetic revelation over her life of holiness, purity, and love for Christ and of making a difference in the world, because once she gets that, then blessed is she who keeps the law. Your obedience is not a drudgery to a slave master, it is an alignment to a revelation that has come from your Father. Let me start with this to try to explain further. How sad and empty and dangerous it is where there is no vision or there's a misguided vision. So the spirit of the age would tell you that you are more free when there's no one telling you what to do. That's the spirit of the age. Freedom is proportionate to how little restraint you have on your life. That is categorically the opposite of the biblical picture of what freedom actually is. Freedom, powerful, beautiful freedom in biblical faith, comes where there is vision and revelation and the word of the Lord. And in fact, in biblical faith, where there is no present revelation, there is deep mourning. So in the old covenant, you see over and over this theme that there is a great grief if there is no vision. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no guidance, a people falls, but an abundance of counselors, there's safety. 1 Samuel 3, when little Samuel gets called into the ministry, verse 1 says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. See, this is a grievous thing in the heart of Israel, if there was no frequent vision. Amos 8 describes one of the most painful forms of judgment that the Lord ever brought in the Old Covenant. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. It's the most grievous thing if you didn't have a transcendent revelation giving you instruction for your life. Part of Lamentations, the lament of the exiled people, is for this very thing. Lamentations 2:9, her gates have sunk into the ground, is ruined and broken her bars, her kings and princes are among the nations. The law is no more. The Torah, our word from God, where is it? We don't have it. We're not surrounded by it. And her prophets find no vision from the Lord. It's one of the greatest forms of grief in the life of Israel. Hosea 4:6 says it plainly, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. All of biblical faith hinges on this. God reveals himself, and if you don't have revelation from God, then you are stuck or you're in danger. How contrary to our modern notions. It is a gift. Listen to this. It is the most precious gift if someone who knows more than you do gives you a word of wisdom, revelation, and vision that you can trust. What a gift. And if you don't have it, you're stuck. Paralyzed or in peril.
Alan Wright. And today's teaching from the series Foolproof, it's Foolproof Vision. Alan is back here in just a moment in the studio sharing his parting good news thought for the day. Stick with us.
In his eye-opening book, Alan Wright invites readers into a new, simple spiritual practice, a little breath prayer that can be prayed throughout the day. Jesus, how do you see this? It's a prayer that the Savior loves to answer because, after all, Christ came to be the light of the world. Clear away confusion, win over the darkness, and open your heart to wonder and joy by getting your copy of the book right away. When you make a gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's new, beautiful hardcover book, and as an additional thank you for your support, you'll also receive a free 6-week Seeing as Jesus Sees companion video series from Pastor Alan, along with a study guide and a daily reading plan. Let Jesus take you by the hand and show you a whole new perspective for your life. As you learn how to ask Christ for his eyes, you'll start seeing as Jesus sees, and you're going to love the view. We're eager for you to receive this month's special product, so we're happy to share it with you at our cost of only $15. Visit PastorAlan.org to get your Seeing as Jesus Sees product bundle. When you're there, you'll notice that you can opt to make a donation above the cost of the bundle, and we would sure appreciate your support. Visit PastorAlan.org, that's PastorAlan.org, or call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860.
Alan, as we're back here in the studio, and you have a parting good news thought for today as we have this series on Foolproof. And if someone feels like they have trouble receiving this gift from someone, is it because maybe they've got an authority problem? What if they're paranoid about something like that? Like, who are you to tell me what to do?
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, as we were talking in yesterday's broadcast, that our capacity to hear from God is intimately related to our capacity to trust God. Yeah. And that's why when you immerse yourself in the good news of the gospel, trust grows and you hear from God. But what we're seeing today, we'll continue, is that God has a visionary destiny for each one of us. And so much of what happens when you get direction for your life is that you are gaining a sense of God's vision. Mm-hmm. And it's rooted in Scripture. But it is also rooted in God's interaction with you as your Father. And that vision, as we'll see, energizes us to work, to obey, and to excel. So instead of focusing on, oh, I need to work harder, or I need to do something more to excel, focus more on being filled with the vision of God for your life, and His focus will come into your heart.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.